I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
In the battle of the number one picks, it's Drake May and the Patriots who get the better of Caleb Williams and the Bears. The final in this one, 19-3.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe. It's Tier Tuesday. Kiefer Madness coming your way at 12:45. It's also a Tom E. Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by D'Angelo's Sandwiches, New England Sandwich Shop. The sandwich shop at Jones and Keefe every Tuesday. Keefe's already done his number 9 over there.
Smoked it. Delicious.
I'm halfway through this Thanksgiving sub.
Yeah, you're going to fall asleep?
Tremendous.
Is it really that good?
It's real nice. I don't know when the tryptophan's going to hit,
but it's
very, very tasty. So big thanks to them. FlexCar. You can save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com. And Tommy Curran, also brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're hearing this, chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180, a once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop on the way home from work, minutes away from proven weekly weight loss. Awaken180weightloss.com. Tommy Curran, what's up?
Good afternoon.
Oh, it's a wonderful afternoon.
Oh, it's the best.
The Patriots having their victory Monday yesterday. Tommy, Tuesday, today. We played a clip from you on NBC Sports Boston on Sunday discussing the juxtaposition between Caleb Williams and Drake May. I don't know if you want to elaborate on that at all, but it was striking on Sunday.
It was, and I'm not sure exactly what the clip was, but my biggest impression is that Caleb Williams is being so poorly managed that they're going to be below scratch by the time they start to get him organized. When you look at the Patriots, for all their faults and missteps at numerous levels, personnel, head coaching, coordinators, et cetera, Robert Kraft said to me, and I think he said it publicly as well, the only thing that matters is coaching quarterback. And when you look at the quarterback development that they've done, whether it's from Alex Van Pelt and the on-field stuff with the slow playing of putting him out there, or the way that May himself has ascended to the leadership role that he did in a very diplomatic way where he wasn't overstepping, you can contrast that with Caleb Williams. The footwork of Williams, the timing of Williams are abhorrent. He is holding the ball too long. His footwork and his just spray misses are unbelievable. He's got 19% of his throws, period, are wild. I have the stat. It's on my computer. I'm doing it right now for quick glance, but it's just jaw-dropping how inaccurate he is. And the lack of development that he has experienced since getting to the league is going to put him probably back worse than he was when he got there in April. So it's a real contrast in the way the two players were developed.
You know, we've talked a lot about the report that Drake May kind of pulled the offense aside and spoke to him because they were having a bad practice and, you know, showing some leadership there. Are we making too big a deal out of that? Because Jones and I think that is, like, fantastic and, like, what a step forward. Or is that just something that, hey, you know, every once in a while quarterbacks kind of just have to do that?
No, I think it's a huge deal because – was he going to do that in April, May, June, July, or August? No. He was not wandering in here saying, I have it all figured out, the way Caleb Williams, for instance, was texting the punter that they drafted in the fourth round saying, we're not going to need you much this year. May did not come in and act as if he had it figured out. We watched him during rookie minicamp, and he was glacial in his detail-oriented approach to learning what they wanted him to do. So it's been a very gradual, I think, assumption of the leadership mantle. He never big-footed Jacoby Brissett. But when it finally came time for people to get on the quality control, and everybody had probably said something, for the fast-talking, somewhat awkward, but kind of lovable Drake May standing up in front of a bunch of adults at the age of 22 and saying, we need better. is kind of impressive, I think. And it's just, it shows that the Patriots got the right guy. One thing that Mayo said during the owners' meetings is he's all football. He's all football all the time. And notice that. Have we seen any social media stuff? Have we seen any Instagram? Have we seen any branding? Have we seen any no bull or whatever else we see players embrace? He's all football.
Yeah, I think I've seen one auto dealership commercial that he does, but it's minimal. He had the moment that I know you didn't like, I didn't love either, with Aaron Rodgers after the Jets game. But no, that's been very minimal. And just to juxtapose it with, you mentioned Noble, to juxtapose it with Mac Jones, like, I don't know, would Mac call stuff like that? Would he address the whole team? Would he run it by the offensive coordinator? Or would he just go behind the offensive coordinator and head coach's back? Like, it feels very different, not to pile on Mac, but I'll go ahead and pile on Mac. It feels very different than him.
I think that he probably would, and I think that he would have the respect somewhat of his teammates. But in that dynamic, Bill was already actively peeing on his forehead on a regular basis. So it's very difficult for you to, if you're not empowered by the people above you, to show that you have the ability to lead. So
that's tough with pee on your forehead. I agree.
Difficult.
That's not easy.
It
very
is.
Difficult.
It's tough to stand there and, and be a compelling figure, I would imagine.
No. Play it out. You're good. Yeah.
But yeah, it's very, I mean, it's Brady again. We can make a comparison without making, you know, a one-to-one, he is the guy. But Brady in 2000, was the leader as the sixth-round pick of a fleet of draft picks. And he assumed the leadership role. And I remember listening to guys say that when he got in the huddle, even during practices, when he wasn't the starter, they'd be like, oh, God, look at this. He's so over the top in terms of, let's get in after this. And it's like 2 hours into the practice. And they're like, well, okay. But he's genuine. Brady was. And I think that Drake May is extremely genuine, almost in a way that there's nothing calculated the way I can see. I think Brady could be a little calculating, but I don't think that Drake May is a calculated guy. The only thing that he wants to get is better.
What do you make of both Kendrick Bourne being inactive last week with the idea of playing younger guys, but then also KJ Osborne getting the second most wide receiver snaps?
I think it's two different things that are at play here. One, they want to get younger guys the ball more often, and I think we saw that with Kayshawn Booty and DeMario Douglas. But the guys who are not on their details, and I think that we've seen over the course of time, is lovable as Kendrick Bourne is, he's not a detail-oriented fella. I think it's the general perception within the organization. He's well-meaning, happy, and productive as he can sometimes be. He just is prone to mistakes. So, on one hand, you don't see Javon Baker. Tyquan Thornton is completely in mothballs now. But they're moving. You have to have somebody out there in terms of, you have to have three wideouts. So they have the two tight ends. So DeMario Douglas, Kayshawn Booty, and KJ Osborne are your three that you're going to put up, and you're going to more or less pound the ball to the two tight ends, Hooper and Henry, and then to DeMario Douglas and Kayshawn Booty, because they're your best players. And Jalen Polk, I left him out of that conversation too, but I really think Kayshawn Booty's their best wide receiver, and he'll probably still be the best wide receiver even when Jalen Polk improves. I just think he's a better player.
No, we were talking about this yesterday. I think that's a shift for Keith and myself as well. We both take him, you know, as the number one guy over Pop Douglas at this point. It's time now for Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game. It's presented by FlexCard. Ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCard. What is your Flex of the Game from Pat's Bears, Tom?
Flex of the Game was the Patriots after the heinous turnover in the second half on the interception. Coming back and bowing up. I'm not sure. Was that the second half? Did I misspeak there? I should have been more prepared in my flex for the game.
The pick was the first was half.
Okay. First half. Let's also then go with the bow up after that, where they did not allow points, and also the bow up in the second half after they had a kind of a sketchy first drive, and there was an opportunity for maybe the Bears to gain a little bit of momentum coming into the second half, and the Patriots forced yet another three and out. So, flex of the game from DeMarcus Covington, for understanding. He had a sitting duck back there who was ready for the taking and an offensive line that was pockmarked and attacking it. We spent a lot of time on the defense, but DeMarcus Covington, who's been lit up several times, he saw a ball on the tee in front of him and he hammered it with the Chicago Bears offense.
What do you think of the outlook for the rest of the season for the Pats? 3-7, obviously not a very good record, but there's a lot of bad teams in the AFC, a lot of bad teams in the NFL. We saw the Rams last night not look great. Miami also, even in a win, didn't look great. And then you have the Colts as your next three opponents who none of them are really playing great football. So how do you see the Patriots kind of the next month or so?
It's interesting because if you look at each team, they're probably all more talented than the Patriots, one by one by one. All of them have better players than the Patriots. But I think Sunday is generally oftentimes just a snapshot of where your team is that week relative to injuries, overall mood, game plan. And the Jets and the Bears were able to be beaten by the Patriots because they had basically quit on their seasons. They had quit on their situations. And the Patriots were able to make hay. They weren't able to do that with Tennessee because they're not that good, the Patriots. So it depends on who they get when they see the Rams. It depends on who they get when they see the Dolphins and the Colts. All those teams are going to look at the Patriots and go, we should beat these freaking guys. Every single team. So I don't think that they're going to go on a run. I still think that if they get to 5 wins, that's expected. 4 wouldn't stun me and 6 would kind of open my eyes. Don't you guys think? If they get to 6
yeah.
wins, I'd say, wow.
Yeah, no, I'm taking the under on that. I just think it's how I feel now compared to 3 weeks ago has completely changed, and I feel like yeah, I have a lot of interest in these games as far as, like, I don't know how the outcome's going to go. Like, I think they're probably going to lose Sunday to the Rams, but I think it's more of a toss-up than it was a month ago. Same with the Miami and Indy game.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm definitely intrigued that they're in this spot, but yeah, I mean, they still end the year with 4 or 5 wins.
Well, so
it wouldn't shock me.
Let me ask you a different way, Tom. We were saying, hey, they're 2 games out of a playoff spot. They're only 2 games back at Denver. There's a lot of teams in that mix. Is that a foolish discussion? It sounds like you think that's probably a foolish discussion to look at the Patriots as a playoff team.
It's not, but it's foolish, I think, to look at them and say, well, that's a playoff-level team. Because there are, Jonesy, 3 plays away from 6-4. They are literally 3 plays from 6-4. Say they got the 2-point conversion against the Titans, Jalen Polk got his foot down, and they didn't butcher it against the Seahawks. This could be a 6-4 football team. And they're not a playoff caliber roster. And had those breaks gone their way, would we look at them and say, well, these guys are going to be a tough out? Well, maybe. But I just don't think that – I think that would be a premature playoff appearance relative to the skill level of the team. Like, for instance, the Patriots in 1994 went to the playoffs in Drew Bledsoe's second year. And the next year they went 5-11 in 1995, and they were horrendous. And then they went to the Super Bowl the next year. I think the Patriots, it's going to totally track the exact same way the early 90s Patriots did, I believe, if they get it right.
A Super Bowl appearance.
Mm.
I'll take that. Right. I'll take that, Tom.
Right.
I don't know
who's the Brett Favre running around with his helmet off when they lose. I couldn't sleep for weeks after that.
Yeah, that was a tough image.
Yeah.
Tom, I don't know.
That's going to be Caleb Williams.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know if you saw Bill Belichick on Pat McAfee yesterday. Maybe the most surprising part of it was that A.J. Hawk asked the question, but Hawk asked him about specifically the Patriots and Drake May, and as you can imagine, Belichick took it to, yeah, he looks good, like, outside the pocket, and Ramondre Stevenson's a great back, but really it's all about Chicago. I don't know what your take is on Bill, once again, kind of sidestepping any kind of positive statements about the Patriots.
He's got some bad takes. I mean, you should at some point acknowledge the fact that Drake May is better than you thought he would be when you looked at him in April at the draft. You have compelling information, Bill. People want to hear it. We respect your opinion, but be able to say, well, that's a lot better player than he is now. Don't make it sound like he's running around like a chicken with his head cut off and not being decisive as to when to run. He's not wandering around back there. That's one of the best things about his game. But I think sometimes Bill is so reluctant to lob praise or admit that, hey, I got that wrong, that he's going to stick with it. You notice he also managed to meander over to a Jacksonville sideswipe, the double in that answer, the double benefit of that being, hey, Shot, I'm still here and your team still sucks, and you shouldn't have had Mac out there. He's horrendous. The guy was 6-18 in his last 24 games here.
Yikes.
One of the worst offenses on record, and they're still digging out on Patriots record, not National Football
League. Yeah.
But it's funny when you really hold his takes up to the light how just laden with agenda they are.
Well, it's a good thing they had Ramondre Stevenson draw on the defense last year when they won their four games, because obviously that was a big thing that helped them out.
Who was best back last year?
Yeah.
Who was Bill's best back last year?
That would be
Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, so you're arguing Zeke over Ramondre. Okay, I see where you're going.
Oh, my God. He was much better than Ramondre Stevenson because they couldn't block. Anyway,
knock on Bill. Some bad takes from Bill Belichick. I'm certainly familiar with one. Tommy Curran, always with good takes. You can watch him on Quick Slants tonight. You can read his latest at NBC Sports Boston. Drake May has risen to the occasion for the Patriots on and off the field. Check that out there. He joins us every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. You can also catch him Thursday at 3:30 on WEEI Afternoons. Tommy Curran, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Good fun.
Tommy Curran.
It was.
Joining us here on a Tom E. Tuesday. Two big takeaways there, Keith.
Yes.
Number one, Kendrick Bourne not on the details, huh? Kendrick Bourne not known as a guy who's on the details throughout the organization.
Yeah, maybe not running every route exactly as it's designed kind of thing.
And it's interesting, too, because he was the one lecturing people about the details after the international game.
Well, I think there could be two different things. There could be, curfew versus... If it's a 10-yard route, are you running 10 yards or are you running 9?
Right.
Or 11?
Well, KJ Osborne's up on his details.
KJ Osborne stays in bounds with the best of them. Oh, what's that? Oh, he didn't? Great.
So I found that to be interesting. Minor, but interesting. Yeah. The other thing, had Curran shared that before? That in a conversation with Robert Kraft, it's all about coach and quarterback? That's what Robert Kraft thinks. It's all about coach and quarterback? Interesting.
That's what I think.
I mean, it's definitely what I think. I mean, I really think it's like 90% quarterback and a little bit coach.
Yeah.
But that's just interesting for an owner to view it that. It's all about the coach and quarterback. Maybe he shared that before. That piqued my interest when Curran said that
Robert Kraft said to me, and I think he said it publicly as well, the only thing that matters is coach and quarterback.
Huh. Mm. That's it.
Yeah. I'm looking for
meanwhile, he ran off the coach and the quarterback that he had for 20 years.
I mean, but he did so many interviews in and around the time that Brady was gone and then Bill was here, then Bill was gone, that, yeah, he probably did say that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know when that is. I don't know if he shared it recently. I don't know if that's something he shared 10 years ago. Interesting. I don't disagree with it. Just that's interesting peek behind the curtain with a man who, can get time with Robert Kraft. It's not something we get here on Jones and Keefe. Although, Robert, if you're out there listening, you can jump in the grab bag or something like that. At 1:30, we got room for you in the bag.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to. 617-779-7937. Otherwise,
I
agree.
Pretty much jam-packed here today. Kiefer Madness coming your way at 12:45.
Oh, that's right.
Let's get back into
another
the Patriots.
Creature feature.
Is it?
Yeah. All it is creatures. Ever since you said there's no creatures, it's only been creatures.
Nothing but creatures.
All it is.
The world is filling that gap for us. So we have Kiefer Madness at 12:45, another creature feature, so stay tuned. And we'll get back into that foolish discussion about the Patriots. Are they a playoff team?
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You mentioned the first game of the year against Cincinnati, and later in the year, after a few games, you're like, that's an unsustainable way to win. You just sort of compared this game to that game and said, this is how we have to win going forward. I guess, what sort of changed there from your perspective about that and the evolution to now?
Yeah, it's just a totally different part of the season. You know, and when I look at that game, you know, to go back, even last week I went back and watched the first three games of the season and just tried to pull out, you know, the things that we did well and the things that people were attacking us on. Now, I said that, you know, weeks ago at the start of the season, and then now, you know, again, reserving the right to change my mind, we can do it. We can do it, and that's what we did last night, and hopefully that's what we do going forward.
Thank you.
I would say just overall, just the physicality of that game compared to this game. I think that's when I say unsustainable back then or sustainable or whatever, it's really the physicality part of it that we need to continue to build on.
Thank you.
Which I would say is sustainable.
Just when you want to start liking Jerod Mayo a little bit, that was a tough answer to listen to. That was Giardi peppering him yesterday morning.
He's like, thank you. I'm done. I don't need to hear anymore.
Yeah, thanks, Jerod. I will say this, though.
I got this to say.
And Giardi, it was a good question. Giardi set him up. He's like, hey, you know, you said, Jerod, this is another example of you just saying stuff. You said after the Cincinnati win, winning that way wasn't sustainable.
Ew.
Then you win later on in the year against the Bears, and you go, that's how we want to win, just like we beat Cincinnati.
That's the blueprint.
It's like you, a couple of months later, you're completely contradicting yourself. So,
well, of course. I mean, he contradicts himself day to day. So
I know.
Month to month is
even
like not fair.
My only point is, even when I want to feel a little better about the Patriots, there are two games out of a playoff spot. I thought there was actual tangible evidence they game planned during the week.
Yeah.
Which I had never seen before out of this defense. The Longhorn package, Keith.
Loved the Longhorn package.
Loved it.
Yeah.
So there was actually something they did during the week where I watched the game on Sunday, and I'm like, oh, they clearly worked on that this week. I haven't seen that all year.
Mayo himself probably isn't going to change, so what's going to have to change is the results.
Yeah.
So Joe Mazzulla, great example.
Great example.
Some of the stuff you would say 2 years ago, we're like pulling our hair out and be like, what is this guy talking about? Now, we're laughing with him, laughing all the way to another parade.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's hilarious.
Yeah, burn some cash might be funny in 2 years. We're kind of like, what were you doing?
What were you doing? Yeah, so he's going to contradict himself quite a bit. Okay. I don't know if he's going to be able to change that long term.
So Curran said it wasn't a foolish discussion, I think, just to be nice, but really.
Because he was like, you guys seriously been talking about this?
Really, he thinks it's a foolish discussion, but they are mathematically only two games out of a playoff spot. Now, they're also one game out of the number one pick being in the mix for that. But that's where they sit. They're no longer, to me, on the worst of the worst. Evidence, our Tier Tuesday that we did earlier today. You tweeted it out.
Take a look.
At Keef21. It's also on Instagram and Twitter.
They're
at above Jones
a
and
lot
Keef.
Of teams.
Yeah. So they're not on that worst tier anymore.
No, they're not.
So let's talk about, we've talked a lot about how bad they are. We've done that all year long.
Most of the year, yes.
They're only two games out of a playoff spot, so we just chose to look at that today. Am I wagering on them making the playoffs? No. Neither is Keith. I'm not predicting it.
Good money on that, though.
I will just tell you, it is really good
money. Plus money.
They're only two games out of a spot. I like this text, Keith. 37937.
Yes.
Jones, it's more likely pigs will fly than the Patriots making the playoffs.
All right, pigs flying.
Same with the Red Sox signing Soto. Let's rephrase, Keith.
Oh, love this game.
What's more likely?
Okay.
Obviously, neither is probably going to happen.
No.
What's more likely? You have to pick one.
Classic game of what's more likely here on Jones and Keith.
What's more likely? Maybe we should have saved this for Would You Rather tomorrow.
Son of a bitch.
But
no. This is a different game.
Different game. You're right. What's more likely?
What's more likely?
Totally different than Would You Would You Rather. What's more likely? Patriots make the playoffs, Red Sox sign Juan Soto.
Patriots make the playoffs.
Oh, I think it's Soto.
I think there's zero chance they sign Juan Soto. I think there's like a 1% chance they make the playoffs, therefore
Nick,
greater than.
Was it Nick or Terp telling me the playoff odds for the Patriots earlier?
Yeah, what are those? What are the?
I thought someone told me it was like
2%. 2%.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, perfect.
So 2%.
About the same as the Red Sox about this time last year.
2% is higher than zero.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Therefore, that is my
logic.
You think they're going to sign? Or no? Okay, let me reword it. You think there's a better chance they sign Juan Soto?
Yeah, better.
Hmm.
Better.
Just because they're meeting with them?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
They're taking a meeting. They haven't taken a meet. This is not a prediction. They're not going to sign Juan Soto.
Yeah.
But if you're asking me what's more likely, all it is money. John Henry,
which seems to be important to them.
Okay, it does seem to be important to them.
Yeah.
But we just said earlier today, Keith, the Patriots have to go 6-1 to make the playoffs. So,
well,
like, what's more likely? John Henry wakes up and decides to spend money again where he spent it before, or the Patriots go 6-1? What's more likely?
They go 5-2. They got the head-to-head with the Bengals. They get in as the 7th seed. No, because I think right now
Still Soto.
Okay. 3-7 is a brutal record, and normally you wouldn't be talking playoffs. But as of right now, the best or the last wildcard team is 5. Not only is it 5-5, but it's the Broncos.
Correct.
So it's not like 5-5, but the team just got all their players back or blah, 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 blah. They're 5-5 with a rookie quarterback. Then you have the Colts, who's above you. Nobody believes in the Colts, and you play them head-to-head.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are ahead of you. Nobody believes in them. You play them head-to-head. The Jets are technically ahead of you, but they're sinking stone. It's really the Bengals. The Bengals have a one-game lead on you, but you have the tiebreaker. So I just talked myself into, as long of a shot as it is,
yeah,
that whole scenario for the final seven games of the season, I like better than Craig Breslow sitting down with Juan Soto being like, we can offer you $125 million and like all you can eat Dunkin' Donuts. And Juan Soto being like, I appreciate that.
Okay,
but
look,
I'm going to go to the team that's paying me $650.
I think it's more likely John Henry to set, because he pivots all the time. And I'm very, very skeptical they're ever going to spend money again. But it's more likely he pivots back. He said they weren't going to sign pitchers over 30, and then they turned around the next year and signed David Price.
Fair.
He said they wouldn't pay Mookie Betts, and he turned around and paid Rafael Devers. So they have acted a certain way and then changed their minds.
Okay.
I don't think the Patriots are making the playoffs, but I will say this, Keith. What you just laid out is the best case. The teams, somebody is going to make the playoffs, either that sucks and or lost to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Or both.
Insane.
Like,
yeah,
these are the teams. It's Denver, who sucks.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Indy, who sucks, and the Patriots may beat. It's the Bengals, who may not suck, but the Patriots beat.
And they're not playing great.
It's the Dolphins, who suck, and the Patriots have a chance to beat in 2 weeks. It's the Jets, who suck, and the Patriots beat. One of those teams are making the playoffs, or you.
Oh, I know.
Like, those are the options.
Versus Yankees, Mets, Red Sox are in a room offering a player money. Who do you think is going to offer more? Juan Soto's not.
I didn't say it's happening. I said more likely.
No, I get it. But I'm just saying that whole scenario just made, like, going over those teams again, doesn't that make you feel a little bit better about it? Whereas.
It does. It's closer.
Yeah.
I'm still on the Soto side, but it's closer.
What do you think their max offer is to Juan Soto? Just for bleeps and giggles.
Give me the years first.
I guess they could offer him as many years
as they
want.
If they're offering him 2 years, $100 million. They'll give him $100 million over time.
He's like, for what, 4 years?
Yeah.
And I get an opt-out each year in there,
JD
Martinez deal?
Can I opt out every year along the way? Sure, fine. I really think they should offer him $100 million over 1 year. That's what they should offer.
So Rafael Devers was a 10-year, $313.5 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Trevor Story was 6 for $140.
Yep.
Juan Soto, greater than both of those players. I get it.
Sure.
So you probably have to go 12 or 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to go 40 to 50 million average annual.
Yeah.
They're not doing
that. Let me ask you this. Do you think they offer? Because this would be a low ball offer.
No, right, let me start right there. No. I don't think they offer him anything.
You don't think there's going
to
be an offer?
I think they meet with him and be like, hey, you like Boston? He's like, sure.
He's like, I just want to go to the highest bidder, man. Which is basically what he said.
He was fascinated that the Green Monster had an inside, though.
That's cool. I mean, that is fascinating.
When he was
wears
playing
off.
Here, he was like looking around.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, that charmer, that wears off pretty quickly,
yep.
But that's fine.
He's or doesn't. You can go in there whenever you want.
He's not a great defensive right fielder,
nope.
Despite being nominated for a Gold Glove.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he's going to want to play right field at Fenway.
Okay, so you don't even think they're going to make an offer.
I don't.
So you already answered my question. Would they lowball him with, and this is crazy to call it a lowball,
mm-hmm.
13 years, $500 million? That's a lowball offer because he's going to get more than that. Would they even offer him $500 million? No. You don't even think they're going to offer him anything.
I don't think they're going to offer him anything.
I said this earlier. We've gone off on a Soto tangent now because I like that text. What's the game again? What's more likely Tuesday?
We can't do more on a Tuesday,
Keith. We got to save that for a different day of the week.
Jam-packed.
Tuesday's so jam-packed. What's more likely Thursday?
I like it.
Sponsorship opportunities available.
Sure. Wide open.
So we've gone off on a Soto tangent, but the one thing I will say when it comes to the Red Sox, they're proving that they care even a teeny tiny bit about optics. It might just be optics. They might just be playing that game. But to go through the motions and meet with him is progress. I know that's pathetic. It's a low bar to clear. But that means somewhere in their Grinch hearts, somewhere they are worried about losing Red Sox fans, that they're willing to go through the dog and pony show even.
But I wonder.
And the optics of even meeting with him. They didn't meet with Ohtani.
But
they don't meet with these big ticket guys.
No, at least
they're meeting with this guy.
So they brought back Theo Epstein last year, and he had some sort of weird role. And I'm sure it has just as much to do with Liverpool and the Penguins as it does the Red Sox. Like, he's super high up in whatever it is he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if that's the type of guy that was like, hey, we at the very least need to meet with Juan Soto. That's what Red Sox would do. You kind of cool the fans off a little bit. So now,
just meet with them.
They can't call into WEEI and be like, they didn't even meet with Soto.
Right.
Like, well, wait a minute. Yeah, we did.
So maybe maybe
we just got blown out of the water by the Mets, stupid Mets, right?
Maybe Theo has his ear, right? So maybe that's possible. Maybe Theo has his ear and it's just, hey, John, we're not even going to offer him. Can we just pony up whatever it costs to fly the jet out there and let's meet with him, okay?
Good point by the text, too. Yes, they signed Rafael Devers, but do you think at this point they regret the Devers deal?
Oh, 1,000% they regret it.
Yeah. Now, Soto's a better player than Devers, but I bet they're like, why did we sign this guy to this deal?
We don't even like Devers, and we could have two Devers for one Soto.
Devers is under contract until 2033.
What's he going to weigh by then?
I don't know.
So the next
position is he going to play?
The next 3 weeks.
He's my DH this year, for God's sakes.
Part-time DH.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next 3 weeks for the Pats, though, are massive because they're all winnable. Doesn't mean they're going to win them. But if you want to even keep this playoff conversation going into the bye week, Rams looked terrible last night. Dolphins barely look better.
Yep.
And then the Colts. Those are three winnable. Doesn't mean they win them all. Three winnable games. Huge three games for that discussion.
And I know week to week everything changes, right? Like the Patriots beat the Jets, then the Jets beat the Texans. And then you're like, so your head's spinning in the NFL. You can't just take 1 week's results and then factor it in the next. But watching the Rams and Dolphins last night, like, I don't think neither of these teams are very good.
A little bit of hope.
It gives you a little, just a little bit.
A little ray of sunshine.
A little bit. But then it's going to hurt even more when they lose.
It's true.
You know, because you're like, you're quietly like talking yourself into at least like a competitive December.
You know what that's like?
What?
It's like me looking at my fantasy lineup every week.
I look at my matchup and I go,
you know what? I think I do have a chance.
Today's the week.
And then the week happens and I go, I'm such an idiot.
Not good.
That's what happens every time I look at my matchup every week.
It's like my bets every night. Like, yeah, one hit. That makes all these things could happen.
Jonnu Smith over 3.5 receptions last night, right?
And you notice I say all these things because I only bet parlays like a moron.
All right.
All these things will hit.
So there you go.
No, they won't.
What's more likely? Juan Soto signs with the Red Sox or the Patriots make the playoffs. What a discussion here on Jones and Keefe. Meanwhile, it's Tuesday. That means Kiefer Madness is next.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay. Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
And they were running. That looked like they're training for the Kentucky Derby. As if they were in the Daytona 500.
What? Taylor Swift?
All right, welcome into Kiefer Madness here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And a couple months ago, Jones was like, we haven't gotten a lot of creature stories. And since then, every Tuesday has been
nothing but
creature story.
We've even done emergency madness.
That's right. We've had
creatures,
to.
Yeah.
They're literally coming out of the woodwork here. We go down to the great state of South Carolina. Don't know if you've ever been to South Carolina.
I have. I've been to Charleston, which I think is in this area, yes.
Son of a bitch. So have I. I didn't think I have.
How about that?
Yeah, I have. A buddy of mine's wife went to Clemson, so they got married in South Carolina. That's right. Yeah, I would have said no had I not thought
of it. My in-laws live in Charlotte. Sneaky, very close to South Carolina.
How do you like that?
Right there. The border's right there.
Well, now would be quite a time to go to South Carolina. Let's find out what's going on down there.
Police in South Carolina's Lowcountry are asking people to keep their doors and windows locked.
Uh-oh. Doors and windows locked. What could be roaming out there in South Carolina?
Well, let me tell you.
That's Bigfoot country.
Good point. That is a creature that falls under the creature umbrella.
I've seen bears open doors before.
Sun bears?
I'd have to double check.
Of the bear.
What kind of bear? Yeah. Bears can open doors. Unfortunately, I know what this story is.
But that's a big story.
If I were guessing, I know bears open doors to homes and cars. That would have been my guess.
That's true.
Police in South Carolina's Lowcountry are asking people to keep their doors and windows locked. Workers are laying traps to catch dozens of monkeys that escaped from a research facility last night.
This is the movie Outbreak. Have you seen the movie Outbreak?
Well, Outbreak, how many monkeys? It was just the one, right?
Yeah, just one crazy monkey. This is dozens of monkeys. So this is kind of taking that number, the percentages of that turning into what it turned into.
Outbreak on steroids.
Multiplying it by like 40.
Yeah.
So dozens of monkeys have escaped from a research center.
Don't love that.
I don't think that's great. What are we researching on? What are we doing to these poor monkeys, by the way? Which I'm against.
Yeah?
Let me speak for the show here. I'm against testing on monkeys.
Yeah?
You're not? You're pro-testing on monkeys?
Well, if we're not testing on them, who are we testing on? People? I'm pro-testing on monkeys over people. Yeah,
you meet some of these people. Ish. Not for me.
I'm pro.
You ever met a monkey that, like, cut you off in traffic? Not me.
Well,
not me.
That's true.
You're good guys out there.
Probably better driver than most of the people out there. That's true. Yeah, I think I'm protesting on animals
Son
over people.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. Billy, can you break the tie? You want to test on monkeys?
Test the hell out of those monkeys.
Oh, my God.
What, compared to any of us here?
Yeah, exactly.
Surrounded by a bunch of...
But they're also the closest thing to humans.
You want to test on
Nick? Well, we're the closest things to them.
You want to test on Nick? I'll let it slide.
So you think they should test on us?
That's fine. No, test on the monkeys.
No, but I'm saying, do you think monkeys should be testing on us if they're trying to cure monkey-related...
What is this, Planet of the Apes? Yes, it's going to happen. Be ready.
It is. More likely, Planet
Let's
of the Apes situation.
Get them sick before they do it to us.
AI situation or iRobot situation.
Yeah.
Are you more afraid of like a monkey takeover or like a computer AI takeover?
Oh, computer AI.
AI monkeys. Monkey. Easy.
AI monkeys.
Son of a bitch.
Man. Both of them.
See.
Not to be a conspiracy theory.
Yes. No.
Those
no,
AI
of course
monkeys
not.
Are going to take over.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's true.
CBS News spoke with the company's CEO. Dave Malkoff reports.
This goes right to the top.
The 43 Rhesus macaques made a break for it on Wednesday, escaping.
Rhesus macaques? That didn't make our Halloween candy tier. The Rhesus
was the
macaques.
One Rhesus that nobody likes.
Nobody had that.
Yeah, you're like a holiday pumpkin.
Although, if you're in South Carolina, they might just find you. These guys
That's
might be
true.
Popping in, knocking on your door.
What's the Reese's that Greg likes?
Oh, the white chocolate thin.
I thought that was the least popular of all the Reese's. It turns out the Reese's macaque.
Yeah, Greg goes, I'm not actually a candy guy. He's like, all right.
The 43 Rhesus macaques made a break for it on Wednesday, escaping from the Alpha Genesis Primate Research Center in Yemisee, South Carolina.
And the caretaker was doing her normal routine. She failed to secure the doors, and the monkeys basically just bolted through the opening.
So her normal routine is just like walk around, leave the doors open?
Yep. Smoke break.
Yeah, I'll be right back. Hey, monkeys, I'll be right back.
That's a smoke break.
Monkeys, stay here. Yeah, what is she doing?
They're like
you
pushing
got
her.
You have a fall guy in the crew.
On the phone, not paying attention.
They're just pushing her a box of Marb Reds. They're like, here you go.
Yeah. Yeah. The ones that they were smoking. They're like, you were testing these on us? They're not good. They're not good for us. How many more years do you need me smoking these cigarettes? They're not good. You want one? She's
so
like,
she
I'll
leaves
take one.
The door open, and these guys just
inside job.
They haul.
It's like Jumanji now.
Inside job.
I think most of these things are inside jobs.
Yeah. She just leaves. Oh, hey, I'll just leave this door open, monkeys.
They're like, hey, Friday night, 8:45. I'm gonna take my smoke break. You guys kind of, you know, put something in the doorway.
Might not see anything.
I don't see anything. Let's just say my back might be turned.
I'll be ripping a dart. Maybe I don't see anything.
Yep. Okay. They took off.
They're very social monkeys, and they travel in groups. So when the first couple go out the door, the others tend to just follow right along.
Wow.
Huh. Lemmings.
They're literally lemmings.
They just, one guy goes, so they had one leader, one Drake May in the group, and then the rest of them are like, hell yeah, let's go.
All right, whatever, we're on where we're going.
Sitting in here.
I'm following him.
Smoking 3 packs a day, getting stuck with needles all the time. Trying different shampoos. This is awful. I don't want any of this stuff.
So the reason why they got out was literally monkey see, monkey do.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Less of that.
Don't do that. This is a serious story. No, don't do that.
This is the CBS News,
this
right?
Is CBS this is
not,
national
like,
news.
Yeah, it's not like a local South Carolina broadcast.
No, this isn't.
That's beneath you, sir.
No.
Absolutely.
President and CEO Greg Westergaard says the monkeys, which are used for vaccine development, are hanging out in the woods near the facility.
Yeah. Are they?
I think they've taken off. I think they're worn out by now. I don't think if they were just hanging out, would you go get them?
Yeah.
I don't think they're just in the woods looking in like, hey, I wish we could get back in. They're gone.
Not to play this side of the street, but it's more likely they were voting in the election than hanging out by that thing. Like, it's more likely they were stuffing the ballot box.
They were not registered voters, Jones. They can't vote.
A bystander says he saw the escape, although the video he recorded could not be verified by CBS News.
Oh, that's scary.
this guy's like a fake Twitter account. Yeah, I saw it. Do you have a video? Yeah, I got a video. You want to see it? It's just like him playing with dolls. Like, what is this? Do you see that there? That's the monkeys taking off for the woods.
Hey, see it?
I love how...
See, I like the picture of the monkeys, like, had, like, a little can of spray paint. And they, like, spray...
Yeah.
Like Cartman in the TSA.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was picturing. I don't think it actually happened.
The guy's a good enough source to use for the story, but they point out that his video, he can't actually use that thing. The video was kind of crazy. We had an eyewitness, but not really.
A bystander says he saw the escape, although the video he recorded could not be verified by CBS News.
I think they're having an adventure.
The fugitive primates are described as cat-sized adolescent females.
You want it?
cat-sized adolescent females.
Specific description.
A lot of details in this, which I do appreciate.
I was seeing they're either 17 or 12 pounds, so maybe they're that's the discrepancy. The females are 12.
Got it.
Not to paint with a broad brush.
So 12-pounders.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure there are some females that are 17. That's fine.
Yeah. I'm sure there are
thick monkeys out there.
They're accepted by the group, I'm sure.
That's fine.
Yeah. They're not mean to each other.
I met a similar species on assignment in Sri Lanka.
Okay.
Brag.
Hey, what does that have to do with anything? What does that even mean?
He's like, I met
some monkeys in Sri Lanka.
I'm taking that experience.
Thanks a lot. Okay, cool.
I met a similar species on assignment in Sri Lanka.
I'm sure that's
great,
helpful.
Dude. How'd you get them back?
Yeah.
Like, what,
yeah.
So now what?
Yeah. Like, I'm sure you're about to crack the case here. Let's go.
You got a lot of good intel.
In a statement to CBS News, the CDC said the monkeys posed.
Time out.
Yeah.
That's all he said?
Yep.
That's it? He moved on?
That was a brag. He's the guy in the group.
Did they show B-roll of it?
No.
Did they at least show B-roll of him with the monkeys?
Oh, maybe they did.
They did from seven years ago.
Okay. So you just had to get that in there. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, like, okay.
Okay, I thought he was about to crack the case. That was just it was a literal brag.
Like, I dated a girl from South Carolina. Okay.
She was hot, too.
Oh, you should have seen her. Yeah. I don't have any photos of her, but she's hot as hell.
Now she goes to school. You wouldn't know her.
I don't want to give out her bra size, but.
She was good looking.
Let's just say. You ever heard of Pharrell's wife?
Yes, I have.
In a statement to CBS News, the CDC said the monkeys pose no threat to public health as long as people do not come in contact with them.
Isn't that most things?
Yeah.
Yeah, they should be fine. Just don't go anywhere near them.
Don't touch them.
Don't let them come near you.
Don't let them touch you. Because
they are ripe with different diseases that we've been pumping into them.
It's a real problem. Oh, I'll attack you.
Just don't let them bite your scratcher.
Give me that wording again. Was it most? Mostly?
In a statement to CBS News, the CDC said the monkeys pose no threat to public health as long as people do not come in contact with them.
I had read a different headline where they were like, they're mostly not a threat. I'm like, oh, they're mostly?
Yeah.
Let's emphasize that word for a second.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hoping for a happy ending. That's the number one important thing to me.
Same.
Dave Malkoff, CBS News, Atlanta.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah. Speaking of happy endings. Dated a girl in South Carolina.
These monkeys are just all over the place. There's 43 monkeys out there just running around.
I met a similar species on assignment in Sri Lanka.
All right.
Great, dude. It's like, I told you I'd tell that story again.
Yeah, my
like,
CBS.
Nobody cares.
My CBS News salary paid for a trip to Sri Lanka.
Good, dude. That's fine.
Ladies, if you're listening. So, these things, it's been like a week. They're still
hoping
large.
For a happy ending. That's the number one important thing to me.
They're still at large. What's
that's
that?
The number one important thing to me. Well, that's not very generous of you. This guy is a bit of a selfish lover.
Hoping for a happy ending. That's the number one important thing to me.
That's all I care
that's
about.
That's awful, sir.
That's all I care about.
How dare you. But anyway, there you go. There's monkeys in South Carolina.
Yeah, okay, but they've been at large for a week.
Yeah. No, they're not going to find them.
I think they found like 20 of them. Over half of them.
That's what
large.
I had read.
They gathered 20 of them?
Well, they've caught some, yeah.
What they do?
Update to keep her madness. They've got some. The other ones are at large. They're like, oh, yeah, they're totally in the bushes out there. They're just
hanging
out.
They put them down?
I don't. Good question. But that logic doesn't hold up. They're like, they're very social. We've caught half of them. Oh, I thought they were all social. I thought they all followed each other.
Watching the building is what the one guy said.
I thought they were all together. No. Now you only caught half of them. That doesn't make sense.
They're at large.
So how?
Yeah, they're always together.
Yeah.
And they're social. None of that seems true.
They're always together. They're very social. We only caught half of them. We don't have no idea where the other half is. Got to be close though.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I would be a little terrified of that.
Yeah.
Living in that area, I'd be a little terrified. It's the Charleston area. It's not that far outside of Charleston.
Yeah, head on a swivel down there. You're traveling.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.